welcome you to the preaching service of the Scotts Fork Christian Church. I'm Otis Clark, the minister, and this is the first Lord's Day in the fall season of 2023. The leaves have begun to turn, some of the leaves have fallen, and there's quite a bit of evidence that fall is here. This morning, I want to speak on the subject of our heavenly home. There are many beautiful teaching in God's Word about heaven and about the heavenly home. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, heaven is mentioned 500 times. And we know that from reading the Holy Scriptures, that is very evident that our Lord wants us to be mindful of heaven and all it will offer. This is, like I said, the first Lord's Day in the fall of 2023. And it's a time when the farmers are gathering in their corn, when they're gathering in their hay crop, so they'll have hay to feed to their cattle. It's a time of harvesting and a time of gathering in. And friends, one of the things that we need to be mindful of is that there will be a time in our lives when we will finish our earthly pilgrimage. And then the question is, then what? So this morning I want to read from the book of Revelation, and you've probably heard these words many a time, in Revelation 21, 1 through 8, and then I'll also be reading in John the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 6. This is what John has to say. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this. I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be confined to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." And then, if you will, turn with me back to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, and I want to read verses 1 through 6. And listen, if you will, to these words. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered and said, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Great words in the Gospel of John. And of course, we know the words that we read from the book of Revelation. They were written by John. He was on the Isle of Patmos, and he writes these words in the book of Revelation. So this morning, I want to talk about, and I would begin by asking a question: what does the Bible say about our heavenly home? And friends, we need to understand that, as I said, much is said in God's Word about heaven. Not only, needless to say, does He want all people to get to heaven, but also that He wants us to understand the joy and the blessings that await us who are His children. And when we think about this message, one of the things that we need to understand right on the front end, now listen to me, is that heaven is a real place. It is not an imaginary place. It is not something fanciful and other words that we can use, but it is a real place. Just as we worship at Lancaster Cut in Kentucky at the Scotts Fork Christian Church, that is a real place, and that is exactly what heaven is. And we're going to talk about that, that heaven is going to be a regenerated place, and finally we will see that heaven will be filled with the redeemed. Now let's talk a moment about this particular thought, that heaven is a real place. Is there a land that is fairer than day waiting for us, the redeemed, one day? Yes, friend, there is. The Bible speaks of heaven as a real place. I want to read the words again. And we know, of course, that John is the one who wrote the book of Revelation, said a moment ago. And also I read a moment ago from John 14. And let me read again from another translation. And it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus speaks of heaven as a place. And friends, we know as we study about heaven that it is going to be a prepared place. Now listen, for a prepared people. In the books of Mark and Luke, it is recorded that Jesus sent two of his disciples into Jerusalem in order to find a room and prepare it for the Passover meal. And when you look at the Greek and look at this thoroughly, what was being said here, it is the same word here, found here in John 14. Jesus sent them with a specific purpose to prepare a place for them together. And friends, Jesus has done that for us. I guess I have to admit here, I'm a little bit aggravated at myself as a minister that I have not spoken more about heaven, more about this place that He has prepared. You know, possibly you have been in a setting, and maybe it's after church, and maybe 12 of you are going to plan to go out and eat, but some of you had to tarry for a little bit, but maybe you sent someone on to the restaurant where you were going, and that person, when he or she would get there, would say, "We have got 11 more people coming, and can I put my name down, and so we can be prepared to share a meal together." Well, that, friends, that's exactly what Jesus ascended into heaven for you, for me, to prepare us a place there in the Father's house. And it's going to be a real place, and it is going to be prepared for our homecoming. Now, let me add a word of caution here, and a word of caution for those who are not yet prepared for heaven. Just as real as heaven is, so is hell. Now, friends, I don't like to mention that word. I don't like to talk about it. But I am not doing you a favor as a minister of the gospel if I do not share with you that the Bible teaches, needless to say, that there is a place for those who have not accepted him, who have not sought to live. They've heard the words, they've heard the teachings of the scriptures, and they have turned away from it. As sweet and wonderful and beyond description as heaven is, so hell will be in all of its horrors and suffering. Just there is nothing, as I said a moment ago, imaginary about heaven's glory. There is nothing imaginary about the gory hell you will face or you will be in forever if you do not repent of your sins and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, hell is a prepared place, but it is prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you. But if you die without being saved, you will be with the evil one, and the smokes of your torment will rise up forever and ever. That's what the Bible says. Heaven is a real place, and maybe many might ask the question, well, where is it located? Well, you know, but the Bible speaks of heaven, and it can mean one of three locations. It can mean the atmosphere around us in which the birds fly above the heads of us. It can mean the starry heaven we see at night, where the sun and the moon is. And then it can mean the abode of our God. And friends, today we need to see and be concerned that heaven is the place where the throne of God is located. And it's very interesting that as we study all the teachings and study about heaven and all, that we see that so many times when we think about praying or we see people talking and maybe in very sincere hours and in grave hours, that you always see them a lot of times turning to the heavens, lifting up their eyes. And so many, many times that's why heaven is spoken of as being above us and beyond us. And I think so often about the Lord's Prayer is that we say it every Sunday morning before we begin our educational hour. And you know how that prayer goes. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but lead us and guide us to eternal life. So why is heaven spoken of as being above and beyond? Well, when we look at ourselves, it is because we are fallen. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, he fell morally and spiritually. For man to go down to is to go farther away from God. But when a man looks up to God for help, we know what the psalmist says. Friend, from whence cometh my help, the psalmist said. And he said, I will lift up my eyes, you see, to the hills. We are to look up because we are a fallen people. But the Bible says God looks down to us, and in this great agony, Job, we read in the book of Job, and Job said, is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. And Job knew where God was. The psalmist says also, for he hath looked down from the heights of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. You see, friends, it is because God is greater than we are. The psalmist, the great prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 55 and 5 says, and I love this, it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The Bible speaks of hell as down. If you are not saved, you're going down, 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 away from God, and heaven into hell. A lot of people, friends, maybe and even ministers, are not sharing what the Bible has to say about hell. Now, I believe I'm safe in saying that there is not a single minister who really likes to talk about that, because it is so negative, and what the Bible has to say about it is very, very heavy. Listen what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and this is what he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead of Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Friends, they are saying about our day that people are living their lives as if they think they're going to live forever. And friends, what I want to point out as we're thinking about this great subject of heaven is that everybody talking about heaven ain't going to go there. That we need to understand, because Jesus Christ gave his all for you as you're listening to this podcast. Jesus Christ gave his all for all of us at a tender age, 33 years of age. And he gave his life so that we could be forgiven of our sins, and so that we could have the hope of living eternally. And it just seems that we are in a day when we have become so arrogant. We know very little about the Bible, it seems, but yet so many times so many people seem to be such a scholar and so enlightened when we listen to what they say, that really does not come out as such. So not only, friends, do we need to think about some of these things that I've said, but you know, as you think about your life and you go along, and if you have your wherewithals about you, is as you come to the closing days of your life, that we ask the question that when you do die, when you pass, then what? And friends, I would like for all of us, as we're sharing in this podcast, to ask that question. When I come to the end of my life, then what? What awaits me? The Bible tells us that there's no name given under heaven whereby that we can be saved. Only it is through the name of Jesus Christ. Heaven also, friends, is a regenerated place. Not only does the Bible teach us that heaven is real, but it is all teaches us something else. There is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and it is going to be a regenerated place. To be regenerated is to be new again. The Bible speaks of our being served as, saved, I beg your pardon, as regeneration in the book of Titus, the ways of salvation, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, not according to the mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that sin has infested, it has infected, it has corrupted our world, and it will be purged by fire. Listen, if you will, to Peter, as to what Peter had to say in 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." The scriptures plainly teach us, friends, we can look at Romans 8:21, where it speaks about the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. God will purge this world by fire. Let's listen what it says in Psalm 102, verse 25. It says, "The heavens and the earth will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed." In the new heaven and in the new earth, John says three things will be absent. And I want you to listen closely to this, because it is so meaningful. First of all, sorrow will be absent. we read just a moment ago about in the book of Revelation, verse 4, and it says that God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Therefore, do not lose heart, he says. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All of the sorrows we encounter here, friends, will be melted into a prized treasure when we stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also we need to see another thing that will be absent, and that is not only will sorrow be absent, but also that sin will be absent. And this is something that is so important, and I want us to read from the book of James, James 1 and verses 14 through 16. Listen to this, if you will. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after their desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, and when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift comes from the heavens above. You see, friends, not only will there be no sorrow, but there will be no more sin. There will be no one in heaven to entice us to be disobedient. Nor will there be anyone in heaven being disobedient to the Lord. Someone has said, and I think said it quite well, think of it, in heaven the saints never think a sinful thought. And there's a third thing that we see when we think about this situation, is separation will be absent in heaven. Here on earth, we experience the pain of parting and separation. The one experience of separation, of course, that is most common by all men, is a separation brought about by death. The Bible says, and we read in the book of James about that, is that that it does, that Satan has his own LSD. Sin, when it is not repented of, or first thought, beg your pardon, before we sin, first of all, we deal with lust. And then if we don't check that, then it brings forth sin. And if sin goes unrepented of, then it brings forth death. Satan has his own LSD. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Death and separation is all that sin is, all that sin brings. But sin will be absent in heaven, and no one will be there sharing in any more separation. And friends, also, there will be no separation from the saints in heaven. When we look at verse 1 in the book of Revelation, 21st chapter, notice it says that odd little statement at the end where it says there will be no more sea. We think of sea as separating. And so why will the sea disappear? I believe that the Bible tells us that there will be no more separation among the peoples of God. We will be all together in heaven. There will be no more restless days, but tranquility in heaven for us. I think so often about the great teachings in the book of Thessalonians and how it's so important that we understand, and that is in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, those who have died and have gone to be with the Lord, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Someday, my friends, we will all be together with the saints. But best of all, listen, there will be no more separation from the Savior in heaven. We shall be in the Savior's presence like a beautiful bride on her wedding day. we will meet our Savior in heaven before the throne of God. Heaven simply would not be heaven without Jesus. The light of heaven is the face of Jesus. The joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus. The melody of heaven is the name of Jesus. The harmony of heaven is the praise of Jesus. The theme of heaven is the work of Jesus. The employment of heaven is the service of Jesus. The fullness of heaven is Jesus. In the regeneration heaven, and earth will kiss. Great over and over in this chapter, it is emphasized that we will be in the very presence, listen to me, of our Heavenly Father forever. And then also, heaven is filled with the redeemed. What a beautiful, beautiful thought, filled with the redeemed. You see, friends, that's why that I keep preaching. That's why that because I want to see people become Christians. I want people to be prepared when they leave this world to go to be with Christ forever. Paul, in writing to Timothy, he talked about this, and he says that he would have all people to be saved. Friends, I hope I am talking to people who have given themselves to Christ, who are seeking to live the Christian life, because, friends, before you know it, if God is good to you, you will be old. And before you know it, you will be facing the hour of death. And in all probability, you will ask yourself that when I take my last breath, then what? And so as we look here in Revelation 5:9, is that we notice that they sing a song to the Lamb. And it says, "You are worthy to take scroll and to open the seal, for you were slain and have redeemed by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and peoples and nation. These redeemed for the blood are you and I, who will one day walk with the rest of the redeemed in the fight of the Lamb of God in the eternal heaven." Friends, what will that day be like? Well, you've heard the song. I can only imagine. And friends, we haven't talked about it enough. It's going to be unbelievable. Now you say, how do you know this? Because as you study the Bible and study about heaven, it is absolutely going to be beyond description. Randy Alcorn has written a book about heaven. The last count that I heard, it has sold over 1 million copies. And it is a very, very good book. It's not something you can sit out and just read 4 or 5 minutes or 25 minutes. And it's a very in-depth study of heaven. But friends, you know, after all is said and done, nothing is more important than to give your life to Christ, to be prepared to meet Him and to have the hope of eternal life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the glorious hope that we have, that we can live together, no more crying, no more sin, no more fighting, no more killing, but a place that will be perfect, perfect in every way. Thank you for that, Lord. And I pray for each one who is listening to this podcast, that if they have not given themselves to Christ, that they would realize and take time to think and study the Scriptures and be prepared to meet their Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.